chapter 1, starting in verse number 12, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created, that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. And you that are sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled, in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. If ye continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard and which was preached to every creature, which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. We'll stop right there, and we'll preach down through verse 23 today. If you have my outline, and I do include a copy of my outline in the bulletin, if you're visiting today, there is a copy of my outlines. You can follow along there. Roman numeral number 1. We're talking about God's dear Son and the redemption made available through Jesus Christ. That was clearly looked at in verse number 14. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Paul, again, the pastor here at Colossae. The pastor was Epaphras, and Epaphras had taken his concerns, his heart that was so heavy with the burden, and had taken himself bodily to Rome to find Paul under house arrest. He goes to meet with Paul, and he lays his burden, his heart, there before Paul. Just everything that is of such a concern to him about the situation of the church. Gnosticism had come in. This false doctrine that Jesus Christ was not God. That Jesus Christ was separate from God. Gnosticism covered much more than that. We looked at that last week. But that was the heresy that had begun to infiltrate the church. People wanted to be, they wanted to know who God was. They came to church to study God. They believed in God. They dismissed the person of Jesus Christ. Paul is going to take these next 11, 12 verses here and absolutely detail as much as possible how important it is that we understand that Jesus Christ is God Almighty. God Almighty formed this earth. He formed all that we have. He spoke it into existence. If you don't believe that, that's where your faith has to start. If you don't believe that God created, that God is, then we have a long way to go. And call me this week. I'll sit down with the Word of God, and we'll start back there. So at this point, here in the morning service, I'm going to assume that you believe that God created all things, that God is, that God was before the beginning of time. He is today, and He will be for all of eternity. There is no time. There is no clock. There is no constraints on the Almighty God. We are here because of God. We exist because of God. God in His loving kindness reached down to this earth and He made mankind. He made everything. He made the sun, the moon, the stars. He separated the water from the earth. He made the trees and the plants. He created all that we have. I don't know how in the world you can look at the world around us, the meticulous detail, the intricate, amazing detail of our earth, of the human anatomy, of all of life, and think that some big bang put it into existence. That is absolutely ludicrous. And I guarantee that there will come a time in history that people will look back at this generation and say they were completely off their rocker. You say, well, I don't know about that. Well, let me tell you something. Do we look back at the past and think that people who thought the earth was flat, do we think they had any leg to stand on? You know, we look at them and say, how could you not look at the horizon at the seashore and think that the earth is flat. It's obviously round. We know it's round. We're able to take airplanes, spacecraft, satellites, zoom up and look back and see that it's round. We know that it's round. We don't question that it's round. But we've come to this absolute ludicrous idea and decision that somehow all of the intricate details of this earth were, boom, blew up, you know, and now it is. I've seen some explosions, not a lot, little things, even firecrackers. Nothing ever good comes out of an explosion, right? Chaos comes out of explosions. No order, no symmetry, no detail, no beauty, no perfection. Explosions destroy. God created. God made it. God made everything the way it is. And we cannot help but look at creation around us and see that God is. I'm getting ahead of myself in my outline. We're going to talk about Jesus as the creator in just a minute, but God made. After God made, the last item, thing that God made was mankind. He made Adam. Shortly after, he made Eve. He made the first man, and he made the first woman. But Adam and Eve sinned. They rebelled against God. God said, "Thou shalt not," and yet they did. They rebelled against God. God gave man and women the opportunity to have a free will. They could choose. They could choose to accept God, or they could reject God. They could obey him, or they could disobey him. And they chose to disobey. God did not make them robots. God did not make them have to love him. God gave them an opportunity, a free will to choose, and they chose wrong. Because they chose that, there is now a breach between their relationship and God. They fell into sin. There was a great chasm between God Almighty and his holiness and man who had sinned and rebelled against him. But God loved them. God loved them so much that God made a plan to save them. And he set it in motion that day. Listen, God had designed it before there was anyone, before anything had existed. But he set it into motion the day that they sinned. When they sinned, God began to prophesy in all of Scripture. We see it immediately in Genesis chapter 2, chapter 3 in particular. God begins to set forth the prophecy that a Messiah will come, a Savior will come, the perfect Lamb, the sacrifice will come. And through all of Scripture, we can see the prophecy building. And then, that day that we celebrate in Christmas, Jesus Christ took on the form of mankind and came to this earth. God Almighty became man. That's why the virgin birth is so important. Sin is passed down through the seed of mankind. God did not use the seed of mankind. He put that child, he put that infant, he put that newborn baby into the womb of a woman, allowed that woman, Mary, to carry that child. But man did not conceive that child. God made that child because it was Jesus Christ. It was God Almighty. God came to earth. Who else could die for man? Men are sinners. Men are alienated from God. God Almighty came to earth, lived on this earth for those 33 years, lived a perfect life, set a perfect example, and then died for you and me. He died for us that we might be able to live again. Now, if we accept God's free gift, we can stand before God and find redemption for our sin. That's what verse 14 just said, right? Verse 14, we just read, "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins." So here, this is the whole key to all of life. This is it. This is the one thing that every person upon planet Earth has got to figure out. Someday, you will stand before God. Are you washed in the blood? We just sang it. That's the question. Have you accepted the gift of salvation? If you have not accepted the free gift of salvation, then you are alienated from God. You will spend eternity separated from God, and that separation from God is in a place called hell. God provided a way of escape. God came himself. He lived on this earth himself. He died himself. He became the sacrifice himself. He offered a free gift. There's nothing we have to do. It would be convenient if you and I knew that in order to get to heaven, All we have to do is volunteer 100 hours at your local church, you know? Because then we can start keeping track, right? You know, start keeping track. Okay, I got 3 hours, 10 hours, 20 hours, 80 hours, 97 hours. I'm almost there. Boom, I have my 100 hours. I get my certificate. I'm going to heaven. I'm good to go. God said, it's nothing you can do. Nothing I can do. It's a free gift. We have to accept it. That means we have to put our pride aside. You know? And so often the problem in our... Always the problem. It was the problem in the garden. It was the problem throughout all of the Word of God. It's the problem today is our pride holds us back. Well, I don't know. I just don't know if that makes sense. You know? I don't know. I've got to think about that. I don't know. It seems like it's too easy. It seems like there should be more to it. It seems like maybe it should be more difficult. If it's that easy, why doesn't everybody just believe it? You know, God makes it as easy as possible. God said He made it possible for a child to understand. And we complicate it. We make it a mess. Listen, God made it very easy for Adam and Eve. You may eat of any tree but that one. Don't eat of that one. Satan comes along and says, did God say don't eat of that one? Because you know, if you do eat of that one, you'll be as smart as God. You'll be like God. I don't think that's what God really meant. Why don't you go ahead and eat of that one? And so they begin to think about it, you know, begin to ponder, begin to contemplate. Next thing you know, they're eating of the one tree they're not allowed to eat from. It was a very simple thing. God's entire concept for Adam and Eve was, here's the whole world, be fruitful and populate, you know, enjoy the fruits of all that I've made, fellowship with me, just don't eat of that tree. Don't eat of that tree. And so they run over and eat of that tree. And so today God said, here's my free gift. God said, I became a person, I became man, Jesus Christ, I lived on this earth, I lived the perfect example, I died for you, all you have to do is believe it. And we go, I don't know, it's awful complicated, you know, I don't know, it's got to be more to it than that. And we try to, make it so much heavier than that. I'm preaching this morning because I believe that there are people even in this room today who try to think too hard about what it means to be a Christian, you know? And we look at everything else. We look at philosophy, you know? We look at other religions. We look at other people, you know? You know what you may do? We may do. We may just look at other Christians, you know? And say, I don't know. Some Christians don't live so well. I'm not trying to make any excuse for Christians. Christians are supposed to live well, but guess what? Our rule, our guide, is not other Christians. The guide is Jesus Christ. He lived the perfect example. It's all written down in this book, right? So He's the example. He's the rule. He's the guide we go by. It's not going to do any good to go stand before God someday and say, God, I didn't accept your gift because I kind of looked at all the other Christians and they weren't living so well. God's going to say, you weren't supposed to be looking at other Christians. You're supposed to be looking at me. You're supposed to be looking at my example. That's why I came to earth. That's why I lived the perfect life. I'm the example. Did you look at me? Well, I just didn't like the way other Christians were living, or I didn't like other things that were going on, or it just didn't make too much sense to me, or I thought it should be harder. I wanted to do more stuff. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. He paid the price. That's the redemption. God's dear Son. And this is the philosophy that Paul is trying to fix in that church at Colossae. And I'm telling you, it's why all of those commentators, all of those theologians I read at the beginning wrote that this is so important. Why? Because Satan, who tried to confuse and manipulate and trick Adam and Eve, is the same Satan that started the idea of Gnosticism, and it's the same Satan that is trying to trick people and lead them astray today. He's still up to his same tricks. We're still believing the great deceiver. The Bible didn't call him the great deceiver by mistake. He's the great deceiver because he's great at deceiving. He tricks. He manipulates. He throws things into our minds. Jesus is the only way to God. God created a plan, a path, a bridge. God provided His own Son, Jesus Christ. All we have to do is believe Him. Now, sometimes, and I'm getting ahead of myself, but bear with me. Sometimes we say, well, there's so much I don't understand. I haven't accepted Christ yet, but there's a lot I want to understand ahead of time. Listen, if we haven't accepted Christ, then we're in darkness and our eyes are blinded. We cannot understand everything about God until we've accepted his free gift of salvation. Once we accept it, it's like the blinders come off. God told us in Scripture that he's prepared our hearts to accept salvation. We accept salvation, then we can understand the rest. God's given us the ability to believe and understand salvation. That's all we have to understand. And once we understand salvation, the rest of it, we begin to grow, we begin to learn, we begin to understand. Right? It's a process. We're not supposed to know everything in order to find salvation. We're supposed to believe in God's plan of salvation, and then we begin to understand. Then the Holy Spirit begins to illuminate our hearts and minds. On your outline there, we see that number one, God's dear Son, it was through him that redemption is wrought. That's what I spent the first part of my message obviously looking at. Number two, he is above all things. Verse 15 calls him the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. He is above all. He is, in other words, again, we're trying to undermine the bad philosophy, the heresy of Gnosticism. Jesus is just another good man. Paul, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is saying he's not just another good man. He is God. He is above all. He's the creator of all. He is above all in all. He is God Almighty. To understand that Jesus Christ took on humanity, humbled himself, and came here. That did not make him equal to us. That allowed him to walk with us, to talk to us, to set the perfect example for us. But at the same time, he remained God, God Almighty. He's above all. Number three, creator of all things. And I kind of got into that in my introduction, but verse number 16 tells us, by him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones, dominions, principalities, powers, all things were created by him and for him. Again, if Jesus Christ is above all things, it is that way because he made all things. Right? Jesus Christ was not just present at creation. He was not just a witness to creation. Jesus Christ was involved in creation. He made all things. By him, all things consist. All things exist. By him, all things were formed. Don't you love Scripture? It tells us all those things that were made visible and invisible. Think of all the things that were, listen, invisible when this was written to the church of Colossae in the first century. You know, a lot of things invisible they didn't know about. You know, my little finite peon brain this week got all enamored by the radio. You know, I know we've had a radio for a long time, but how in the world does that work? You know, I mean, these radio waves are somewhere out here, and this little radio in my car or on my bedstand picks up these waves that are in the air, and I can hear someone's voice. I can hear their voice so clearly, I know who they are, right? You can distinguish the voice. I mean, how does it do that? Where are those radio waves at? I can't even see them. Not only that, we've added cell phone waves now, right? We got wireless cell phones. I got wireless microphone this morning. All these things are in the air. Where are they at? Why aren't I running into them, you know? I mean, I know they're not tangible, but again, these were things that were invisible years ago. That's just a simple thing. You know, we looked at the understanding of what oxygen, hydrogen, all the different gases are, all the things that, how about all the galaxies and stars that were invisible in the first century, but are yet visible to us today? About the technology, the earth, biology, how about all the things that happened in the human body that were invisible thousands of years ago, but are visible today? And it was just God saying, listen, I made everything. Years from now, you're going to find things you don't even know about. God said, I made them too. You know, I made them before you found them. You know, we keep having these scientists that are finding new species of birds and new species of bugs and new species of frogs and new species of all these things down the jungles. And they find these new things and they name them for the first time, and the scientist gets his name on the front of the magazine, and woohoo! God said, made it! Been there! You know, I named it a long time ago, you know? I put it there a long time ago. God said, I made all things visible and invisible. All the things you know about, God said, I made. All the things you don't know about, I made that too. I went out. Again, the more we ponder this, the more we have to give God credit, I think. Again, I don't know science that well, but 3 months ago, I bought a nice pair of work gloves, leather work gloves. I needed a nice pair. I use them when I take care of the chickens, when I'm working outside, and I was working on the chimney the other day and doing some other stuff. I'm wearing those yellow leather work gloves that, you know, like cowboys wear. You know what I mean? Yeah, I got mine. Yeah. But anyway, I bought them at Home Depot like any good cowboy would, you know? But anyway, I wear my yellow gloves and I'm out there working on stuff, and I looked at them the other day and they looked like they're 20 years old, you know? They're beat to death. They got some tears and abrasions on them. They're dirty and covered with stuff. And I took them and then I looked at my hands. You know, my hands are 42 years old, right? They're 42. I've done all kinds of crazy things without gloves. I mean, I worked in the paint industry for almost 20 years, one way or the other. I've had paint and stain, tints and dyes, all kinds of chemicals on my hand, all kinds of things I've done with my hands, and yet my hands don't really look that bad. You know, I got a few cuts and abrasions, but I mean, scars and stuff, but otherwise they look pretty good. How is that possible? How did God make skin? You know, we can't create something like that today. It rejuvenates, takes care of itself, keeps reproducing, cleans itself somehow. I mean, I use soap, of course, but you know what I mean? It keeps going. How does he do that? Had to be a God. He created all things, visible and invisible. Things we know, things we don't know. Jesus said, I did that. I made that. Listen, verse number 17. This word jumped out at me. I never thought of this before. Verse 17. He's before all things, and by him all things consist. You know, if I would have been written it, I would have written, by him all things exist. God says not only do they exist, but they consist. The consistency of it. You know, this universe and galaxy out there, the reason it doesn't just spin out of control is because it consists. Because Christ has it in his hand. Right? The human body, the heart in my chest that's pumping blood this morning, the reason it just doesn't blow up someday, any day, any given day, I understand we can have a heart attack at some time, but the reason that it just keeps pumping the way it's pumping 50, 60, 70 times a minute or whatever it is, year after year and month after month, is because by him all things consist. Not just exist. It consists. He knows it. He makes it work. The air that's around us that we breathe. I mean, I understand. I am not a eco guy who's all about, you know, tree hugging and stuff. But, I mean, I drive down the highway and I'm watching these trucks and buses belching out all this black smoke and soot and stuff. And at the same time, I'm breathing. How does God do that? All that oxygen just gets fixed and cleaned and replenished. I mean, I understand we can contaminate our air. I understand that. For us doing that. I'm just saying somehow on the same street when I'm walking down New York City and there's 10,000 cabs belching out black smoke, I'm still able to breathe. How is that possible? Because God, by him all things consist. Paul's saying that is Jesus Christ. He's not just another person. He wasn't just a prophet. He's God Almighty. He made all things. Things we know about, things we don't know about. It's because of Jesus Christ all things exist. All things consist. It's because of Jesus Christ all things are. It's because of Jesus Christ we have a plan of redemption to get back to a relationship with God. It's because of Jesus Christ. He's the one. Paul said this is why all these theologians through the years have said this passage is so important to understanding Christianity, to understanding who Jesus Christ is. We have a warped idea that, again, even, you know, you watch the History Channel or one of them do some documentary on Jesus, He was a good man. He was a good prophet. He was misunderstood. People killed him. He did good things. Oh, wait. No. He was God Almighty that came to this earth. He's the creator of all. He's the King of kings and Lord of lords. That's who he is, and that was the wrong philosophy that was being perpetrated in the church at Colossae that Paul was so adamantly preaching against. He's the head of the church, Roman numeral number 4. We read that in verses 18, 19, and 20. Verse number 18, he's the head of the body, the church. Who's the beginning? In other words, Jesus Christ made the church. He's the head of the church. He's the creator of the church. He formed the church. It's because of Jesus Christ there is a church. Hey, just side note, churches that stop preaching Jesus Christ suddenly find themselves with big empty buildings. It's not a mistake, folks. Where there's no Jesus Christ, there's no church. Without him, we're just meeting together as a civic organization. You know? We're just meeting together to talk, I guess. No. Jesus Christ is the center. Because of him, the church exists. He began it. It is. So Jesus Christ should be the center of all that we do, preach, say, teach, everything that we believe and live. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. Number 5, he's a reconciler. We saw that in verse 20 through 23. Having made peace through the blood of his cross by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say whether they be in heaven, in earth or in heaven. You, verse 21, were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. So the work of Jesus Christ today, listen, he formed all things, and by him all things consist. He came to earth and became the sacrifice. He is and started the church, and now he is reconciling us back to God. We are sinners, alienated from him because of our sin nature, and he's reconciling us back. His goal, his job, his motivation today. Not that God needs motivation, you understand. I'm just trying to put it in some terms we understand. Jesus Christ, his entire work today is to bring the church and reconcile them before God and present them to God spotless, blameless, and redeemed. That's his job. Boy, we want to be part of that. We don't want to be on the outside of that. My concern so much in my heart today is that there's people, maybe even in our own congregation here today, that are on the outside of that. And there's going to be a time when God is going to take and Jesus Christ is going to present the church, the body, those who have believed, blameless before God, and there's some that aren't going to be there because they haven't believed, because they're holding on to their own traditions, their own thoughts. Listen, the number one argument that I will have today or others will have today if we try to share the gospel, the number one argument is, well, you know, I think, .. Listen, I hate to burst our bubble, but what we think doesn't matter. You know, our culture today is all enamored with letting everybody tell you what they think. You know, everything's about what you think. You know, talk radio, tell us what you think. You know, you walk into the bank, right? And most of the banks, you know, you're number one, you're most important. Tell us what's on your mind. You know, you get onto the computer, everybody's telling you what they think. You know, Twitter. You got, 70 characters to tell us what you think. Tell us what you think. Everybody wants to know what you think. Think what you think. Listen, I mean this in all loving kindness. But when it comes to God, it doesn't matter what we think. God said it. It is. God said Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, the life. And someday we're going to stand before God if we haven't accepted him as our Savior. And we're going to say, God, I just didn't think that that was the right way. God said, I wrote it down. I walked on this earth. I lived among you. I've shown myself in the Old Testament through the nation of Israel. I showed myself in the New Testament through my church. They may not have been perfect. They may have stumbled. But you had to have seen God in it. Creation. God says you cannot look at creation without seeing him. And so we stand back and we go, I just don't think that that's right. I just don't think that's enough. Doesn't matter what we think. I hope today, listen, this passage, which is so important, I summarized in 20, 25 minutes because we're going to have communion service in just a moment. And I hope as we have communion service, as we have the invitation, that we're reminded of who Jesus Christ is. He's God Almighty, creator of all, sustainer of all. By Him all things consist. Don't walk out of the doors of Cedar Hill Baptist Church. Don't walk out here today without knowing for sure that He's your Lord and Savior. Not just someone you know about, someone you have a relationship with. Say, God, I understand that You are the way, the truth, and the life. I put my trust in You and You alone. That's my hope and prayer for you today.